broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
877-876 Phil Palin accepts.
I will not mention
the
names, but the woman who was
It took him two times to get it right, because the first one really wasn't sincere.
I don't think so. I think that he handled this the way a doctor...
So far, 130 consumers have reported a loss of smell after using Zicam products.
They'll bring another couple home with him. That would be fun.
Boy, what a headache.
World-famous Phil Henry show at 1 o'clock on the West Coast here at the El Pacifico, where things are getting tight. It's a beautiful thing, man. Summer is upon us. We've got to live our lives. You know, you got to just be in the now. Full of all kinds of crazy crap, man, but, you know, we talk about this stuff on the air, and we talk about truth being our bitch, and we want to get to it, but hey, we don't get to it today, it'll still turn. And we're on the air, of course, until 4 o'clock out there on the East Coast for the only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about.
From a friend of mine,
if you watch Glenn Beck, the sun turned down. It's pretty good. Glenn, you know, you're a good guy. You've been through a lot, man. But
in a million years,
when I turn the sound up on your show, man, suddenly
some black people who've grown up
around so funny anymore.
Some black people.
I mean, watching it with the sound on, you're good. But I tell you one thing: Beck believes, and I'm giving you this, and this you can never get.
I'm about to tell you.
You can take this to the bank.
I could get
Glenn
that email
Beck
showing Obama's eyeballs peering out
spews,
from the black, from the pitch
of the,
dark,
of the from dog
a friend of mine who I know,
if, he's, if he believes
is not
even
a racist.
50%
of that,
I'm not even
getting
from a friend
man.
Of mine
I'm
who's white,
back
who
from the dead
in the Obama campaign.
My lost children.
And I would look at it, and that person he's would look at it, and he knows
and we might both think it's funny.
But he's rich.
And that...
Because
for some
it is
people, at least, that's
two
the,
eyeballs
course,
peering
me,
out of the
I'm,
black
very much Gandhi.
Next to all
I'm
of these classic
a,
photographs and pictures
you know what?
Of these white presidents.
877, I ain't going to explain that word,
but
man.
There's no way in
877-876-Phil here
that you
in the
would
world.
Say to a black friend of yours,
what are you
look
me,
at
man?
This, and let me explain now why I think that's funny. You're not even going to go there, man.
Red Bull
not even
Cola
go
tastes like butt,
so,
huh?
Yeah.
That's
no,
why it's
Red
important.
Red Bull tastes like butt,
not Red
that
Bull
we go
Cola.
Slow
tastes
here,
like Cola.
And we have a little more tolerance, and
all
we
right.
also use our
leading
heads
off.
Well,
we're
to
doing
this,
and you don't
worthy
send this out to the wrong people, man.
Nobody's going to have your back.
Nobody will have your back.
Because there was a whole generation of young American men who decided they wanted to pick up a Fender Stratocaster
guitar.
You know, I'm not a racist. I really thought it was funny.
Forget it.
You know,
like the man
how many guys played it.
I don't know that much about guitars.
Here's Jason in Houston, Texas. Jason,
in rock and roll.
On, man. But I was always the guy that just
yeah,
sat there
man, I love your show, man.
Watched. I didn't really, it wasn't much of, interesting. I like to listen to music. I just want to perform it. But there was a whole generation of guys that picked it up.
What do you mean?
And started playing the electric guitar.
Why? Why? Make racial comments or racial
was it because
jokes,
of Buddy Holly? No.
They're bashed for it. And,
I think a lot of guys picked up the guitar.
You know,
Buddy Holly, I think, played a Fender.
Whatever.
Was
but,
it because of
you know,
Chuck Berry?
No.
It and it's laughed at and it's accepted.
Well, is it because of Les Paul? No.
I think
the reason why a generation
I don't
of American young men
heard the
picked
heat
up
that came
down
on Jeremiah
and started
right.
to learn how to play it, and succeeding generations, younger brothers,
you heard him going
son, his grandson and started playing it.
Other than
was
maybe
because
his
of this group. You've heard this song, right?
Yeah, that's the one that you play a lot.
Right. Do you know what it is?
Not really.
Well, it's called Walk, Don't Run. It's The Ventures, and the lead guitarist, one of the guitar players, I should say, for The Ventures. What do you think?
He died.
That's right. I mean, if a band's that old, man, there's only one piece of news that's going to come out about him, and one of them died.
You know,
and it was Bob Bogle. He died at the age of 75. He was a pioneering guitarist whose rock instrumental band, The Ventures, cradle to death that doesn't change, if you so wish it. And that's one's religious point of view, because I, you know, how do I know, man? I mean, that's about God. That's about faith. That's got nothing to do with anything that I can see. I mean, that's just it's a faith thing, okay? So if you say, oh, this is exactly my religion, okay, I can dig that. But you don't treat politics that way. God Almighty. Yeah, but here's the thing. Most of the people that you hear and see on television, radio, they don't even know what the hell they're talking about. They probably go home, and there's something else completely different, you know, because it is showbiz, right? It's showbiz. It just so happens on the Phil Henry Show, we can tell you the truth and entertain you all at the same time. Thank you. Now, speaking of telling you the truth and entertain you all at the same time, how'd you like to hear a bunch of drunk Jews? You would? Okay, because I'm kidding about it. However, this is the Huffington Post had this video up, as did a few others. It's a group of students at a Jewish American college in Jerusalem. They're hammered out of their skulls. They're really stupid. They're ignoramus punks, and they come from rich families, and they wouldn't know their ass from a hole in the ground. And here they are weighing in on Barack Obama. Listen to the brilliance
This is why I don't like Jews.
Oh, shut up, will you?
I'm kidding.
Here they are. This is a drunk Jewish American student and a group of them in Jerusalem. They say Obama deserves... Well, listen.
What do you think, by the way, about Obama coming to the region? He's a head. Wait, yeah, I don't know politics, but he's a head.
You're damn
and
right.
And wants to take away my gun rights as a he deserves to get shot.
Obama's going to press Israel for Netanyahu told him to off, and that's how we do it here in Israel, baby.
Is that great? Here is a group of ladies. They think Obama's a terrorist.
I think it's really up that he's going to all the Arab states and not Israel.
Arab?
Oh, he's a Muslim for sure. And who even knows if he was born in the United States? He hasn't seen his birth certificate yet. He's not from the U.S. He's like a terrorist.
Uh-huh.
What is he doing for this country so far? Nothing.
What do you...
I'm a political science major, so like...
Oh, well...
Do you know who Benjamin Netanyahu is?
No.
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 So many of these people are so poor, and they are so black.
You're all about talking to the Arabs, you're going to Cairo, making a speech to the Muslim world, trying to get them to love you. What about the Jews, man? What are we, chopped liver? You don't care about us? Are we nothing to you? Do we matter? Do you care if we get driven into the sea? Do you care if we get nuked? Like, are we even on... Do you care about us?
God,
I just want to smoke a blunt, eat some chicken wings, have some watermelon with Obama, you know?
My grandmother was in Auschwitz, Obama. We're not going to take any Nazi bull... Listen, man. My grandma's number was 126-8493.
Let me write that down.
I remember her number on her arm, dude. And listen, never again will we deal with this.
It's
never again.
It's time for us to stand up.
Yeah, okay. What are you doing?
I'm writing a number down to give her a call.
Give her a call? That's a number that was tattooed from the concentration camp.
Oh.
Give her a call. So that's a group of Jewish American students at a Jewish American college in a Jewish American place called Jerusalem. And they were hammered, and that was up on the Huffington Post, and then they took it down, and I don't know why, because I think it's illustrative, as they say. What is it illustrative of? It's illustrative of stupid people, first of all, and also what alcohol can do, and they're young, and they're dumb, and they're rich. But there's a bigger issue here, and the issue is this. Huffington probably even grabbed it, as hard as that is to understand, that whoever put this on YouTube... designed to, at least attempted to design, that Obama would somehow get this feedback and he would harden his views about Israel. In other words, the Jews don't all love you, Obama. Why are you putting yourself out there for them? How come you're saying that you stand behind Israel? How come you're saying all this stuff about the Holocaust? Actually, Obama, they hate you, and therefore you should become more hardline about Israel and just the whole Jewish lobby. Please, Obama, let it happen. And he's not that stupid. He's not that stupid. What's going to happen is the following. These kids are going to, somehow somebody's going to find out that that's their kid. You know, like the parents will hear this. And they'll either cut their money off or they'll go down there and beat the crap out of them. Or these kids are going to sober up tomorrow and they're going to realize what they said and they're going to apologize. And the whole thing's going to be one big cluster you know what, you know? Talk about dumb. Talk about entitled. Talk about rich. Talk about, and that one stupid bitch with that, and I'm political science person. He's really just a, you know, and oh, he for sure. Look, I understand that when you go to a kegger party and the guys want to all get you beers, you got to watch that because you turn yourself into it. Number one, ladies, I should just tell you this. Don't always let the guy take your cup over to the kegger and fill it up for you because... there's a thing called a drink whore. Do you know what that means? You know what a drink whore is, right?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not asking you. That means if he gets you enough drinks, then... So you don't want to turn yourself into a drink whore. So what we had there were, you know, a smattering of...
Yeah, it's like Jap drink whores.
Get out of here with the Jap thing, all right? I'm trying to play this thing down the middle. You mind? All right, is that. And then, of course, when you're young and you're having a few beers, no matter how much you think you can hold your liquor, you know, all you got to do is just show up on YouTube spewing.
What do you think, by the way, about Obama coming to the region?
You know, and the next thing you know, all of your friends are going to hear it. A lot of the stuff that they said there obviously was very, very insightful. Some of it was unbelievably racist. Some of it was violent. And some of it was, just, you know, flat out just, you know, stupid. So here are a couple of comments. I think these were blog comments. I'm not exactly sure, but some of the people, first of all, the guy that put this thing up is a guy by the name of Blumenthal. Name is Max Blumenthal. Interview with the Jerusalem Post. Blumenthal is an American documentary filmmaker, defended the video. He asked about its editing. He said that in the 2 hours of video he collected, no people were edited out who expressed pro-Obama sentiments. So why did you use these? He says, well, these are the most direct responses. I had to make the video watchable. He denied that using inebriated teenagers to represent a slice of reality, but reality nonetheless was irresponsible journalism. Reporting is no less credible when it happens at a bar. I don't have any problem with this guy's video. I mean, I see it for what it is. Drunks. You know, young people that don't know, first of all, how to hold their liquor. Secondly, they're really, really stupid. And it just goes to show you, Mom and Dad, you put the kids in, you know, stick them in an airplane and send them over to Israel so they can get a little taste of life. And it ain't going to make them any smarter. Now, why am I looking at Channel 4 right now putting perfectly good bud into a frying pan?
Oh, my God. They're taking the best buds and they're going to cook it up.
Is this some kind of stupid-ass how to cook marijuana show? Get out of here, man. First of all, make it legal, then show us how to cook it. Anyway, he's become the target of a storm of media criticism since the video's release. I got no problem with Mr. Blumenthal. It was fantastic. Now, the Huffington Post pulled it down because all of a sudden, I think Mr. Blumenthal had second thoughts. He said it didn't have any news value, and the Huffington Post took it off of their page because I guess they got to be told what's news and what ain't. I'm telling you right now, it's perfectly newsworthy. Perfectly newsworthy, but maybe not for the reasons that you think. When I listen to some juiced out, just some chick or some kid, all right, having maybe, well, their fifth or sixth beer of the night.
I think it's really up that he's going to all the Arab states and not Israel. Oh, he's a Muslim for sure. And who even knows if he was born in the United States? We haven't seen his birth certificate yet.
Oh, these guys are brain surgeons. This is beautiful. Beautiful. How much you figure it costs to send your kid to a school down there? Huh? Take a look at the bang for your buck you're getting, man. Check it out.
You're all about talking to the Arabs, going to Cairo, making a speech to the Muslim world, trying to get them to love you. What about the Jews, man? What are we, chopped liver?
You know? Yes. Well, the Jews aren't chopped liver. You are, putz.
That's a Jewish word.
Yiddish. All right, so there you have it. That's a slice of American life. Young Jewish people in Jerusalem as they sound off about Barack Obama and try to figure out how they get the deposit back on the empty keg, and, you know, stuff like that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Good God almighty, man. That's a rock and roll good time there. All right, coming up, we're going to have probably going to have more to say about this video. I'm sure I'm going to be thinking of all kinds of things. We'll probably get into some anti-Semitic humor. We won't do that, but who knows. And get your comments to 877-876-PHIL. Phil, world famous Phil Henry Show. Why do we think we're so hot? What is that about? I mean, seriously, don't you think that there's a point where you ain't all that cool any longer? Where suddenly how hot and how special and how precious and how sacred and all that other bullcrap that we talk about, at some point doesn't that sacred thing just get washed away by the acts people come in? There's all human life should be respected. All human life should be respected so long as it is respectable. How about that?
Phil Henry Show. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876 Phil. Palin accepts Letterman's apology. A leading GOP senator admits a extramarital affair. This guy Ensign. And all of this stuff, see what I'm saying? It just, we never get to the bottom. We never get to what it is we got to do because, aha, here's another opportunity to slam some guy. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that the Ensign shouldn't take his I was going to say his licks, but that just...
Yeah, better stay away from that.
Take his lumps. Well, anyway, there's no reason why the guy shouldn't get his ass kicked. How about that? Because of this, no reason at all. But we're never going to get to what it is we got to get done for the country as long as we, oh, look at this. Let's play with this one for a while. And here's one over here. And here's a racist email. And I'm not blaming the press or the media or the interest of the public. I'm blaming idiots who hold public office. Now, this woman, this go-forth that sent out this email with Obama's eyeballs peering from the dark. If I got that from a friend of mine who is not a... Now, this is something black people don't get. I'm going to tell you something right now that blacks will never, black people will never understand this. In a million years, they'll never understand this. Some people will. Some black people who've grown up around white people. Some black people who get it about. But on the surface, a cat like Roland Martin on CNN will never get what I'm about to tell you. I could get that email showing Obama's eyeballs peering out from the black, from the pitch dark, from a friend of mine who I know is not a racist. I might even get it from a friend of mine who's white who worked in the Obama campaign. And I would look at it, and that person would look at it, and we might both think it's funny. Because it is two eyeballs peering out of the black next to all of these classic photographs and pictures of these white presidents. But there's no way in hell that you would say to a black friend of yours, look at this, and let me explain now why I think that's funny. You're not even going to go there, man. Not even going to go there. So that's why it's important that we go slow here and we have a little more tolerance and we also use our heads while we're doing this. And you don't send this out to the wrong people, man. And nobody's going to have your back. Nobody will have your back. Everybody's going to say the same thing. You're an idiot. Because she may say tomorrow, you know, I'm not a racist. I really thought it was funny. Forget it. You know, like the man said, perception is everything. Here's Jason in Houston, Texas. Jason, what's going on, man?
Yeah, man, I love your show, man. I got a
thank
question.
You.
Why is there a double standard when it comes to race? You know, why is it that...
what do you mean? What do you mean?
Whites can make racial comments or racial jokes, and they're bashed for it and, you know, ostracized or whatever. But, you know, other races can do it, and it's laughed at, and it's accepted, you know?
It depends. I think it depends. I don't know that you heard the heat that came down on Jeremiah Wright.
Yeah.
You heard him going into his act, and other than maybe his supporters, the people that love him, there were a great many, obviously there were a lot of white people who didn't like it. President Obama understood that it was killing him, damaging him, and he recognized the tenor of the comments, and there were a lot of, I think, black folks that probably on some level understood what he was trying to say, but realized that he had just hacked up the message and it wasn't going to get out in any real form. You know, I always say this, Jason, and I would ask you to consider this. There's a difference in my mind this way. White racism is the result of many thousands of years living in a part of the globe where there was developed these enormous societies and enormously complex governmental systems. Black people lived in a continent where that didn't take place. As a result, white people developed some sense of superiority based on technology, I think. And as a result, treated people of color. Look at this, man. I got no time to explain. I got to take a break. What do we got next? We got the assemblyman. Tell you what I'm going to do, man. You hang on, and in about an hour, I will, I'll explain this to you. We have the assemblyman coming up next, right? Well, no, I got enough time. I'm sorry. Hold on for a minute. No, I got enough time. I misread the clock. All right, so white people have this racism based on the hundreds and hundreds of years of this assumed superiority based on technology. And the racism that you... I beg your pardon? I believe it's false, and I think it's also a little crazy. Reactive racism that we hear from some black people, I think, is based upon a very recent experience of having been enslaved and having gone through the Jim Crow experience. So there's racism, and then there's a reaction to it, and that's why maybe there's people who are a little more tolerant of blacks making cracks about whites, because it's almost like, quote-unquote, they have it coming, or they ought to be allowed because of everything that they've suffered. And I don't see that as illogical.
But slavery of blacks wasn't just by whites. Blacks.
Look at man. Let's explain something, okay? Because if you got an agenda, fine. I'm telling you how it is. Now, you can either accept it or not. In this country, black people were enslaved by white people. Plain and simple. And that's the experience of the American, the African American, and the, and his descendants. We can get into all of the slavery that went down through the thousands of years before we got here, but we're talking about America and our place on the planet, and this was the experience. I'll try to do it a little bit better, Jason, all right? All right, coming up next, we got Brian Kolb from the New York State Assembly on David Letterman. Has he apologized enough? Is there something more we can get out of him? Maybe some money, maybe some property, maybe some the use of his car. Girlfriend.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Time now for, as you like to hear them, our celebrity interview with prominent individuals in the news. And it's an interview as you like to hear them. With us tonight, we have Bill Maher. And I understand that Bill is at an area nightclub in Los Angeles. Matter of fact, is it at the area that you're at, Bill? What? Hold on. Is he there?
Mr. Maher, yeah. Hi. I really enjoyed that one show.
Can you get him on the air and not talk to him? Bill?
Hi, Phil. Bill Maher.
Where are you? You're at the area?
Yeah, that's the name of the club, the area, and I'm having a cocktail here, and I understand you wanted to interview me. If you, pardon me, let me just get to an area where I can, I can't hear in the area, so I have to get to an area in the area here. Hold on for a minute. What's that say? No, that tall black chick here.
Well, Bill, all right, because I can hear you talking to people.
Oh, okay.
You can hear me, huh?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Bill, you were quoted this week as saying that President Obama, and you were on TV today, I saw you talking to, I think, Wolf Blitzer, that President Obama is disappointing you, and that he is not getting out there.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't say that.
I mean, he's not getting back to the Oval Office and getting work done. He's too prominent, right?
Yeah, that was what I said, and the reason why I said that is because I'm nervous that he's not being the progressive that I wanted him to be, and that everybody else wanted him to be. He seems to be going some other way, and it's bothering me. So I needed to find an excuse, and the excuse that I found was that he's taking too much time hanging around, you know, and doing.
Well, you don't really believe that?
No, I don't believe that. I mean,
what is your thinking? I mean, in other words, you believe that he's turned out to be a president that you didn't think he'd be.
Yeah, you know, and Phil, before you get into that, and you know, hey, Phil, score one for Phil. I get it already. Okay, you've been blowing your own horn on that thing, man, since you got elected.
Well, I need to remind people of this because now you're the most prominent of all of them, who's come out and said, wow, Obama, he's real different than what I thought he would be.
Well, he is different from what I thought he'd be, okay? Now, what you want, though, is you want me to... Look, I don't want to yell at you, all right?
Well, you're going to have to yell, because I can barely hear you over that music. Where are you?
I told you, I'm at Area. Oh, I get it. You think it's a gay bar?
Frankly?
Boy, you got some guts, don't you? No, I'm not at a gay bar, and if I were, I wouldn't have a problem admitting it. I know what I said today on Blitzer, that I didn't get the gay thing. I don't get marriage.
Are you a homophobe?
Am I a homophobe? You're going to think I'm going to come out and say that? Well, I guess I would. This is an interview called As You... Yeah, I think I probably am a little bit of a homophobe. It's because I'm only 5'2", and I've got a shock of red hair and that big fat nose on me, and that's why I date black women that are a foot taller than me. I want everybody to know that I am fully, functionally... B8 heterosexual. Okay? Do you get it? Finally!
Well, Bill, you've only got yourself to blame when you're making comments like you don't get the whole gay thing. It's obvious you're trying to stress something, and it must be your own heterosexuality.
Yes, okay. Can we move on?
Well, let's move on to what it was we were talking about. So what is it about Obama that is disappointing you?
The things that you said. The thing, I didn't listen to him during the campaign. I thought he was going to be somebody else. I'm disappointed in myself, yes. But do you think I'm not going to go out there and admit that? I got a TV show. I'm on HBO. You know, every week I got people on, and I can use the F word, which, frankly, I'm glad I'm on HBO. I'm glad. I'm so happy. I bet you ABC thinks that I'm sorry that, you know, that I don't have that gig. No, I'm not. I'm way happier.
Why would you be happier at HBO where you got far fewer viewers where you got way more viewership at ABC, that Jimmy Kimmel is now vacuuming up.
You know what? Jimmy Kimmel can rot. He can rot in a ditch. Jimmy Kimmel is roadkill to me. And you, oh, so you're saying Jimmy Kimmel is getting all that audience that I could have had had I been a little bit smarter with what I was saying?
Exactly, yeah. You'd still be on ABC, you'd be pulling down some pretty good money, and you'd be pulling down some big audience numbers. But you're, well, let's forget about that, okay? What I want to ask you is if you feel that Obama is not the progressive style president that you thought he would be, why don't you just come out and say that to people instead of trying to put some gloss on it?
If I come out and say that to people, then I'm going to have to act. Then I'm going to have to say that I was wrong. I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm Bill Maher. I'm not wrong. You know I never say that I'm wrong. Even when I got fired from ABC for being stupid, I never said it was my fault. I blamed them. I got angry. I got temperamental. I got petulant. I went on HBO and started throwing around the four-letter words. And now I got this gig, and this is what I do. I'm grateful for the fact that Wolf had me on. Whatever. I mean, he has everything. But let me just clarify something. Just because I didn't know what kind of a president Obama was going to be doesn't mean that I have to say it even on this show, even though I know I've just said it. I want it made very clear to people that Obama would be a better president were he not out there fooling around getting hamburgers with Biden. One day he's swatting a fly with some other jackass. I don't know. Where was that?
That was at the White House.
Well, okay. But what's he doing? See...
He was at the White House, Bill. What are you going to complain about that?
Well, I don't know what he's doing. He's at the White House and he's beating up on flies. Why doesn't he get some work done, which is my public stance?
That's your public stance, but privately you've admitted to me that the guy is not the president you thought he was. So how are you going to deal with that?
I got to keep coming up with excuses. I got to keep coming. God, why did I come into this dump?
Yeah, there's some funky music going on there, man. It's real...
Well, it's funky. Wait, hold on. Oh, I like this. I said, not right now. I said that I'm going to have to keep coming up with reasons why it is I am not, that I don't like him. Now, if this wears thin about you better get back to the White House and go to work.
Yeah, what happens if he does actually get back to the White House and go to work?
I'm going to have to say that he still isn't working hard enough.
See, I don't know if you heard my security guy here, Robert, a moment ago. When you said that Obama needs to get back to the White House and really get some work done, he said, aha, the white guy telling the black guy to get back to work under the whip.
Hey, look, you know as well as I do. You know as well as I do, and I want to say this, and I know I've heard Margaret Gray whisper, so maybe not as many people, but you know a lot of the whites that voted for him. We wanted to see him get to work.
Hey, Bill, don't be a jackass.
What?
Everybody can hear you.
All right. I said, you know that all the white people that voted for him had, we were nervous that he wouldn't hit it. I did the joke about who's going to wake him up, you know, who's going to, when he sleeps through the alarm.
So you're afraid that because he's a black president, he's not working hard enough?
No, I'm not. In other words, on my show, no, I would. I think it's very unfair that you have this interview, Phil, where I have to tell the truth.
Well, that's what this is about. So I'm asking you, Mar, are you saying that Obama ain't working hard enough because you white people expected more out of him than what you're getting?
Boy, I hate you for saying
that. Are you saying that? Yes or no?
Yes, I am saying that, but no, I'm not. I don't want. Do you have black listeners?
I probably do, yeah.
Can't we get on Kathy Griffin and how marvelous her facelift came out? I mean...
No, we're going to keep talking about this.
I know that President Obama... I would like him to get... Yes, all right. Yeah, I want him to get back to work, but it ain't the way you think that I'm saying it. It ain't like Whitey is out there saying, you know, let's go there, Josephus. Let's get on back out there, man. See if you can't get another bushel pick before sundown. I'm not saying that, but... There's a fear, yes, among many of us.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, look at Mr. Henry think he made a point, huh?
No, there you go, there you go. You and all of your white friends, you thought you were being real big time, man, voting for a black candidate. Now we find out you're nervous that he won't get to work before 9:30 in the morning.
No, I didn't say that.
You said who's going to be waking him up when he sleeps through the alarm.
That's what's wrong with that. I mean, don't they have a Secret Service? The point is here, Phil, is that, you know, You seem to think that you know everything, and you don't know everything. You don't understand how difficult it is to be a progressive these days, because every time we take a stand on something, something happens that makes our stand look not only stupid, but unnatural and counterproductive and almost inhuman. Now, you talked about the Iran Revolution. I guess you're going to want to talk about that, huh?
No, I'm going to... No. I won't hassle you with that, man.
Because I've had a response.
Oh, you want to talk about the Iran Revolution? That'll get off the whole thing about Obama and how you want to get him back out to the field, huh?
I didn't say field, did I?
Well, you basically said yes.
The Iran Revolution, I got an answer for you, Ned. Those are counter-revolutionaries. And the real revolution...
Oh, get a load of you.
The real revolution was when it happened and the people threw out the Shah. And now this, these demonstrations, I don't think are... I think they go against the, you know, the what do you got, the workers and stuff like that.
You know what, Mar? The day is going to come when you don't make a, you know, the sense that you make will be so scarce that even though you're a funny guy, and you'll always be a funny guy, you will never make it again as a political commentator. You've tied yourself so closely to this strict set of values, that is being a damn progressive, that you're stuck.
No, I'm not stuck.
Well, then, you're going to have to sooner or later face the music. Obama's a president that you did not expect. You voted for him, not expecting him to be a lot more pragmatic than he became. You blew it.
I did.
You blew it. Blew it.
Oh, are we going to do Copland? I gave you a chance to be a cop, and you blew it. You blew it. Is that what you want to do? I'm going to tell you right now. I got to get out of here. I got a headache with this guy.
Bill Maher, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm not gone. Are you going to let me say goodbye?
Go ahead.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Phil Hendry's wrong. Please watch me on my show. You'll understand. I want President Obama. I want the best for him. And I know I don't want him to get, you know, under the whip and start pulling a mule cart. I wish he would just, you know, I was going to say step and fetch.
Yeah, you don't want to say that.
All right. I just wish he would get moving, you know, get, you know how fast a lot. Phil, I don't think it's unfair. You know how fast blacks are, don't you?
Nah-huh, yeah, no. No, I don't.
You dirty lion scum. You know how fast blacks are. Say yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you... Are you white?
Yes, I am.
Then you know how fast they can move, and I'm asking Obama to move faster, get back to work.
Well, I'm sorry. That's a racist statement.
I'm a progressive. I'm Bill Maher.
You blew it, man. You're right, Copland. Blew it.
I make more money than you. Oh, goodbye.
He's right about that.
Yeah, he nailed you on that one.
Nailed me on that one. Bill Maher, ladies and gentlemen, our As You Like to Hear Them segment. What a dork. I mean, talk about trying to squeeze your way out of something. I don't know whether or not Maher recognizes the way he sounded today on Blitzer, and even worse right here. He sounds like a guy that doesn't know why he voted for, who he voted for, and when he voted for. He isn't sure about anything anymore, man. He just needs to get that HBO deal extended, just maybe one, maybe two more years, and he'll think of something else.
I'm going to give out his website because he didn't have a chance on account of he hung up and got mad.
Who, Bill's website?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Zycam.com.
Get out of here with Zycam. All right, we'll be right back. Zycam.com.
Yeah, a piece of the company.
We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Well, he ain't getting rich that way either. Well, as far as I'm concerned, man, switching parties, you know, switching from slacks to a skirt, what's the difference? So a guy says, well, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go over to another party. And all of a sudden, everybody is upset that the status quo has been rocked a little bit. I hope the status quo gets rocked so much that both of these parties go under. I think it'd be fantastic if Pelosi just joined the American Nazi Party for a couple of days, just for kicks. Something, anything, man, to break up the monotony of you people and the sameness.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Let's see, 877-876-PHIL. I'm sorry, I was caught in research here.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
Don't worry, I'll look for it. I was looking for an email that I sent that has some information that I need, so just don't sweat it, okay?
Right here, I can find it for you.
Get away from me, will you? You're breathing on me. Get out of here. Who took the rest of that Red Bull? I didn't tell you. He told you to drink it down instead of cocaine in it.
I just took a sip.
That's my Red Bull Cola. Anyway, welcome back to our show, 877-876-PHIL. And coming up, we have As You Like to Hear Them. We will have Bill Maher, our special As You Like to Hear Them guest, which basically means we interview Bill, and he answers the way we think he probably would were he honest. All right. In this little story, may not mean a lot, but here it is. From LiveScience.com, based upon research at the University of California, Riverside, examples of same-sex behavior can be found in almost all species in the animal kingdom, from worms to frogs to birds. Now, when you talk about same-sex behavior among worms, I don't know exactly if they have, aren't they like unisex or something? Or
Yeah, something like that. They can do it with it, yeah. Guy, boy, a boy worm. But a boy worm can have a little worm.
Okay. And nonetheless, same-sex behavior, a boy worm, same-sex behavior from worms to frogs to birds is evident throughout the animal kingdom, making the practice nearly universal among animals, according to a new review of research on the topic. It's clear, and I'm quoting from the study, it's clear that same-sex sexual behavior extends far beyond the well-known examples that dominate both the scientific and popular literature. For example, bonobos, which I don't know, some kind of an animal, dolphins, penguins, and fruit flies, according to Nathan Bailey, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of California, Riverside. Same-sex behaviors in different species. Let me move that. I can't see the clock, bud. When you put your stinking Red Bull up there, I can't see the clock, okay?
Here. You want to have some of it?
I've got some. Same-sex behavioral in different species are not all equivalent, the review finds. For instance, male fruit flies sometimes court other male flies, but their behavior is due to a missing gene that gives the flies the ability to distinguish between sexes, said Bailey, a co-author of the review. That is very different from male bottlenose dolphins who engage in same-sex interactions to facilitate group bonding, or female lazen albatross that can remain pair-bonded for life. The review also found a gap in the literature. While many studies have tried to understand why same-sex coupling exists and why it might make sense in terms of evolution, few have looked at what the evolutionary consequences of this behavior might be. Like any other behavior that doesn't lead directly to reproduction, such as aggression or altruism, same-sex behavior can have evolutionary consequences that are just now beginning to be considered. For example, male-male copulations in locusts can be costly for the mounted male, and this cost may, it gets into a lot of stuff, pseudo-evolutionary pressure on the locusts. As a result, a large number of males may secrete a particular chemical that discourages the mounting behavior. It's kind of behavioral problems as opposed to, you know, little baby locusts being born. In future research, Bailey and Marlene Zuck, a biology professor at UCR, plan to try and address questions about the evolutionary outcomes of same-sex couplings, focusing on albatross, and then they'll probably move up the ladder to mammals. So that's just some information for you guys, and I wanted to find the email that I sent to a guy that he needed some information, and I don't think I did it. Let me just... I'm just give me a second here. Here it is. This is a for those of you who are interested. This was from because I get an awful lot of questions, and we've had them on the show. Where's the scientific evidence? Well, the scientific evidence, as you know, guys, the scientific process. Number one, we're talking about gays. Are they born that way? The first thing that a scientist does is he tries to disprove it. That's the scientific method. You don't say, are gays born that way? Well, let's set out to prove that they are. No, no, that is not the method. The method is to disprove it. That's the only honest way that science can work. All right, you're saying what? I was born gay. And that's what, okay, now I'm going to try and disprove that theory. So they go out and they try to find big gaps in the theory. a linkage between DNA markers on the X chromosome and male sexual orientation was another study that was done at the National Cancer Institute, the Laboratory of Biochemistry, National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. And this also was doing some work on hormone, or excuse me, on the X chromosome. And they came to the conclusion that at least one subtype of male sexual orientation is genetically influenced, at least one. And that means where there's one, there may be more. They haven't completed their work, but they have found that at least one subtype of male sexual orientation is genetically influenced when it comes to homosexual behavior. Now, we can either stay up on the science and we can say, all right, I'm listening to this, I'm looking at this, and maybe I have to change my opinion. The question is, how many people are willing to change their minds? And this question's directed at me, too, by the way. How many people are willing to change their minds about sexual orientation in gay people when the science provides the information and they have to change their minds based on that? I don't know that there's that many of us out there who are that intellectually and, emotionally capable. We'll find out. Back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bill Maher next hour, and as you like to hear him.